It receives prophetic words, words of wisdom and knowledge. The preaching of the word, you do realize not every church has what we have. There's a lot of churches that have good things, but there's not a lot of churches that have everything. So we're blessed. We're just so blessed in that area. As I was listening to worship, and then Josette, wherever she is, I don't know where she went. Hi, Josette. During Let It Rain, the anointing was really strong during that song, and I felt it. It was like I literally was waiting for God's raindrops to fall down. I believe they did, supernaturally. And that's what Josette was saying. She felt the same thing, that people were being healed. So I believe anybody that needed a healing, I believe you're receiving it right now. Amen. We don't have to come up for prayer, do we? It's great too, but we don't always have to come up for prayer. God loves to just heal us, and he loves to heal during worship. So thank you, Stacy, for being obedient with worship. Well, Pastor James and Mary Ann, if you're listening, hello. Everything's under control. What is it? The cat is away and the mice will play? Maybe. All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that it's all about you and nothing about us. The only thing we have to be is obedient. We have to be obedient to get the results that you want us to get, Lord. So I thank you, Father, that I give this message to you. And I thank you, God, that people will hear by the Spirit of God, not by Jane. They'll hear by the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, my title of the message is this morning, Persevere Until Breakthrough Comes. And my subtitle would be, if I had a subtitle, it's not the size of the person in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the person. Think of that. Now, I know some of the quotes say it's not the size of the man in the fight. Some of the quotes say it's not the size of the dog in the fight. But I said it's not the size of the people in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the people. So you do realize if you're going to persevere, you need to get fight within you. You need to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. It's great to come to church on Sunday mornings. It's great to come to church on Wednesday nights. But if you're just sitting there expecting everybody else to do the fighting, you need to get up off of your thing and you need to start doing something. Because it's called the good fight of faith. Perseverance is not a topic that we think of as encouraging. In fact, when I got the word perseverance, I thought, oh God, give me a message that I can tell everybody. There's going to be miracles. You're going to be blessed today. And he said, nope, you're going to teach on perseverance. I thought, okay, we can do that. But what we don't realize, perseverance is actually very encouraging. And it's very powerful. Because every trial or test we go through is a building block for our victory to break through. So if you think perseverance isn't a part of your walk, how much time you got? Because if you've been in the Lord for any time at all, you know we have to persevere, don't we? But the exciting part, as we persevere, wonderful things begin to happen because God takes over ourself. Instead of it being about self, it's about God. Let's turn to Romans 5, 3, 4, and 5. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because suffering produces perseverance, which produces character, which produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Think of that. As we're persevering, our character is being built. We do realize that character is really important to God. It isn't about who stands up behind this pulpit. It isn't. It's about our character being built, like that young man that spoke what he spoke. I don't know where you are. Was it you? Hi. You know what? We do got to get our character together, don't we? Because God does want revival to hit this place. I've been a part of several revivals over my lifetime, and guess what? Exactly what that young man said. A lot of times they don't succeed because people get in the way. People start doing their own thing. People start coming up with why they think God should do this. And revival will be squelched. So thank you for that intro. The word perseverance means persistence, the strong ability to never give up. If anybody's known me for very long, and I see a few of you that have, you know one of my main things is I will never give up. No matter how much comes against me, I will never give up. Trust me, there's times I have wanted to give up. There's times that I said, this is too hard, God. Tamara, that's what we talked about. Sometimes it feels like it's too hard. But guess what? If we think it's too hard, then we're not relying on God. Amen. That's the key. If it becomes too taxing and too hard, you need to check your meter, your God meter. You need to see, are you really relying on God or are you relying on yourself? I'm thankful I asked Silas before I started if I could move because I said, maybe I won't today. My hands are moving and my feet are moving. So, whoever is here today wondering if they will make it through the trial you're in right now, I'm here to tell you today, you will make it. You will. How do I know? Because the Bible says so. He says he will take us through every single trial and we will come out victorious. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. How many times have us as believers quoted, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world? But do you believe it? Or are you just quoting a favorite scripture that you've been saying for years? If you don't believe it, that scripture is flat. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Make it so in you, so strong in you, that you know when you say those scriptures, it's true and you believe it. Even sometimes if you have to crawl going, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Because sometimes you feel like that, don't you? Your breakthrough is coming. I can't give you the day and the hour, the month, the year, but your breakthrough is coming if you don't give up. Let's turn to Philippians 1:6. This is out of the Message Bible. I love the Message Bible. Sometimes it gets right to the core and the realness of what God is saying. God will finish the good work he started in us. The last line, this is his promise to us. Hello, get excited. This is his promise to us. Wow! Yeah. We don't get excited enough about the Word of God. We don't get excited about what it says and what it means. The Word of God is our cheerleader. It's our encouragement. Sometimes it's our correction, isn't it? But my goodness, if we're going to speak Scripture and mean it, we need to get excited. And you know what? If you're down and if your faith is weak, it's okay. Call a brother or sister and say, my faith is weak. Will you pray for me? And when you speak the scripture over me, will you believe it? Sometimes we do that, and I've done that before, and I call somebody and I'm saying, you know, my faith is weak. And they be real strong, and they say, this is what, and I get off the phone, and I went, oh, brother. Because I'm still not feeling it yet. But guess what? As long as we have prayer partners that are feeling it for us, we're going to be okay. So don't beat yourself up if you aren't feeling that strength, if you aren't feeling that superpower. You will again. Trust me. It'll rise up in you. But when you're not, get with a prayer partner. and say, look, I need your faith. Borrow each other's faith. His work in us is a process of sanctification. Sanctification. No one likes that word. He wants us pure. He wants us holy. He wants us available. Are we running from sanctification? Are we running from growing in sanctification? Because you know what? If you're not moving towards sanctification, I'm not telling you you're not going to go to heaven, but it's going to be one boring journey. Trust me, you want to get sanctified because when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, there's nothing like it. If you've ever been a drinker, you feel okay for that night, and the next day you feel like crap, right? Don't lie to me, you know you do. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, when you get on fire for Jesus and that sanctification hits you and you know you're a pure vessel, you feel good the next morning. You feel good the next afternoon. It's so important. He's transforming our hearts, minds, desires, wills, and emotions. He does this until he takes us home to heaven. You can grow as much as you want, and you can stay still as much as you want. I don't think this church is really going to be a church where you stand still for very long. Because I just got a vision, Pastor James, of him jumping up on the pew a couple weeks ago. Come on. This church is full of life. Life more abundantly. It's exciting. It's exciting to live for the Lord. And for those of you that are hurting right now, I understand how it feels to hurt. I understand how it feels to struggle. But perseverance will get you through until you reach your breakthrough. I'm going to share a little bit of my background because some of you know it and some of you don't. Thank you, Mom, that you've given me this ability to move my hands. This is my mother, 92 next month up front. And she uses her hands a lot. So it looks like I'm directing traffic. I want to share a little of my background story of perseverance throughout my message. In 1979... I was around 20 years old. I know. Isn't that amazing? I was a new Christian and a new wife. Who in the world gets married that young? I got married at 19, actually. I had one foot in the world and one foot over here, and I was tiptoeing around my faith. Let's go to church on Sundays. Let's party on Saturday. I thought it was working. Obviously it wasn't, because man, life was hard. So my late husband and I, Randy, which some of you know, were over in Port Huron, Michigan, walking along the water, watching the boats. It was one of the favorite things we liked to do. We were new Christians. We had been Christians as kids, but we were hungering for God because our marriage was already a little rocky because we had no idea how to be husband and wife at 19. We just didn't. We were walking along the water and a stranger approached us. And it's like, I'm thinking, is he following us? Yes, he was. And he tapped us on the shoulder and he said, I've been drawn over to you. Could I pray with you? My first thought was, wow, this is exciting. Maybe if I take my foot out of the world and come fully in, maybe God will really start to move. So right there at Port Huron, in front of the water, in front of the boats, in front of all the people, we gathered hands and we prayed with this stranger. I didn't know that people could speak secrets through prayer. And he started praying for us. And who did he zero in on? Moi. Was I the problem in the marriage? I mean, really. It's him. Well, he began praying for us. And he began speaking things that only God and I knew. Beautiful things, wonderful things. But then at the end, he looks square in the eye and he said, I want to tell you one last thing. Perseverance will become second nature to you. And I thought, oh, how exciting. No, it's not. Who wants to live your life persevering? But that's what he said. I would have rather heard extraordinary things. You're going to be a preacher. Your husband's going to follow you wherever you go. He's going to worship you. I often told my first husband, you should do this and worship me because I'm God's daughter. You know what he'd say to me? Not. And he was a preacher, but it took us a while to get to the preacher state. But that's who made me who I am today, is the rough waters first in our marriage to get us to the place where the Holy Ghost got a hold of us and we turned our life completely over, Kim and Paul. You know that. So we left there, and I thought, well, that sounds fun. That sounds like, you know, what's God going to do? Philippians 3, 12 through 14 says, not that I have already obtained all this or have reached my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. I don't consider myself yet to have a hold of it. I didn't have a hold of it yet, but I wanted it. I was hungry for it. But one thing I do is forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on to the goal to win the prize that God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That is such a beautiful verse, isn't it? We need to forget what is behind. We need to forget the mistakes we made. We need to forget those people that said, you'll never make it. Those people that said, you married second time too quickly. Not. I got two great men in my life. I mean, who gets that, right? Don't listen to people that are speaking things that are negative or not of the word. You guys, you don't realize, but the enemy sends people our way. He sends people to bring us a message of defeat. He sends people our way to tell us we're not good enough. He sends people to us to tell us, oh, you know what? It's never really going to get better. Because if God was going to answer your prayer, he would have done it by now. What a lie. We persevere until breakthrough comes. We need to study the word. We need to devour it. And we need to memorize it. We need to learn the word of God as if our life depended on it. Because guess what? It does depend on it. Because when times are going to get rougher, and you know what? They're going to, guys. They're going to get rougher. But the word of God is our lifeline. Hi, Sherry. God bless you. I just seen you. Oh, bless your heart. What a unbelievable warrior of God back there. We love you, Sherry. Whew, okay. I didn't know you were here. Wow. Okay. So, Lord, we thank you, Father. Right now, we pray for Sherry. I'm not going to be religious. I can break this message right now. We pray for you, Sherry. We thank you, Father God, that your hand is upon her. You are touching her heart. You are making a way where there seems to be no way. And Father God, what a perfect message for her. Persevere until breakthrough comes. Father God, cover her so much that she literally feels like there's a blanket of love and strength wrapped around her. And don't let that blanket come off her until she's ready to come out from under that blanket. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When we replace our stinking thinking with the word of God, our lives will change. Who here's ever had stinking thinking? All right, tell me the truth. Who had it before you came today? There you go. I'm so glad you raised your hands because we do have stinking thinking that comes against us, doesn't it? Replace it with the Word of God. When that stinking thinking hits us, and something, have you ever had something come into your mind and you think, that's not me? I don't feel that way, really? Is that really what my mind is thinking? Take authority of it right then and there. Because it's not your thinking, it's stinking thinking. Our thinking is God's way of thinking. We need to anchor ourselves in his promises, literally anchor ourselves in his promises. And we need a mindset of joy until breakthrough comes. I am so thankful that I have joy. That is one thing that has hung on to me through every single thing I have ever went through. I have laughter, I have joy, and I've changed, instead of calling myself quirky, because that seems weird, I call myself unique. Unique. Because God wants us to smile. God wants us to laugh. God wants us to have joy so that when we enter a room, somebody that's down can be touched by the joy of the Lord. Because that is our strength. And I know there's people in this congregation right now that are struggling. In fact, I'm looking at a few of your faces that I've been praying for. Yep. But guess what? God is worthy, and he is able to fix everything that's in your way. I'm a living example of never giving up on God. Have I given up on a few people? Yeah. I've never really kicked them to the curb, but I wanted to. But instead, I said, God, you take care of those people. You make those people who they need to be. What right do I have to change a person? I have no right to change another person. I have the right to pray for that person. Over the years of serving God, he would show me a picture of me inside a boxing ring several times, fighting the opponent one battle at a time until my victory came. And I literally would see myself, I know I'm not a guy, so, but I showed my kids, when their pastors, and I told them what I was going to do about fighting in the ring, and I said, do you think I should literally give an example? And so I stood in the kitchen, I'm going, and they said, no. See, and my son-in-law, Dan, said, what's this, Jane? Smelling salts? I said, no, don't the fighters go. He goes, I've never seen it. But guess what? In the spirit realm, when I am in that ring, I am hardcore fighter. I fight against the enemy. I am not afraid of the enemy because greater is he. Yes. When I'm done and I get out of the ring, guess what happens? God holds my hands up and declares me the winner. Think of that. God, the God of the universe that created each of us, he holds our hands up and he says, you're the winner. Doesn't matter the size of the man in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the man, in the woman. We got a fight in us that is unstoppable. It is unstoppable if you allow God to control your life. We don't allow people to control our life. We allow God to control our life. Amen. Zechariah, turn there, 4, 6 through 7. I know we all know this first part of this scripture. It's so good. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. But I love this part that I haven't really read that often. What are you, mighty mountain? The Lord will take you down to level ground. What mountain is standing in your way today? I'm not talking about the victory mountain where we go up and victory mountain. I'm talking about the mountain that needs to be cast into the sea and destroyed. I'm talking about the mountain that is stopping you from your blessing. I'm talking about the mountain that is stopping you from your financial breakthrough. I'm talking about the mountain that's stopping you to be restored with your son. It's time for those mountains to be level ground so that they're flat. Don't be afraid of those mountains. Speak to those mountains. Be thou removed. And instead of just throwing them in the sea, I like the level ground completely destroyed. I want to share my first supernatural encounter. I wanted to share the other night on Wednesday when we came about how we received the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, I turned over to Alan, I said, I can't share it yet. It's in my sermon. Well, the same year, 1979, after that stranger gave us the word, my late husband and I, and trust me, Al knows I talk about my late husband. He's not crying up here. He's very, very secure. It was in 1979, maybe 80, I don't remember the exact thing, shortly after I received the word from Port Huron. My late husband and I were struggling again. But you know the cool part is all those struggles were going to make us who we became. Shortly after the struggle stopped, boom, God began to move. So don't stop. If you're in a marriage right now and you're struggling, don't you dare run out the back door and say, I'm not going to work this out. Unless scripturally you have reason to. Because guess what? Every marriage goes through something. And if you think it's going to be all hunky-dory, rosy-cozy, he's going to worship you, it don't happen. Kind of. My first supernatural encounter, we were in our bedroom. We were in a little old house. My husband worked second shift. I didn't like being alone. It was just a really rough time. So we had been going to church, we had been working towards living for God, and we were in the bedroom, and I'll never forget it. It was a little tiny bedroom, and all our lights were off, complete darkness. We didn't have any lights on. We were sitting in our bed, and we were praying. And we were basically just saying, God, help us. We need you. We need something to get us to the point where we can overcome these things that are coming against us. And all of a sudden, the entire bedroom lit up. Completely. It was pitch dark. And I said to him, did you turn the light on? And he goes, no, the presence of God is in this room. It was so strong that I just sat there on the bed doing this. And then I started talking. My husband said, like a billy goat. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues at that moment. I wasn't even asking for it. But God knew, Jane, out of all the people in the world, you're going to really need this. And you know what? That's great. Because when we are fearfully and wonderfully made in interesting ways, God will give us everything we need to be who we're called to be. Amen. So I received tongues, and I finally got him to stop calling me a billy goat. Seriously, you sound like a billy goat. And our life began. We began moving forward. Do you think we had any more troubles? Yes. Louder?
Yes.
Exactly. Guys, it's a process. This doesn't happen overnight. If you get discouraged because it's not going as fast as you want it to, or if you happen, now none of you should do this, but if you happen to fall back into a sinful pattern, get out of it. Yes. Just get out of it. Right. Come on. We're going through school, aren't we? The other day, I have a prayer group come in my home once a month. We've been doing it for years and years and years. We stopped for a few years. I thought, I'm done with this. I don't want to have it in my home anymore. Well, guess what? I had to start it up again. But we were there, and I said to the girls, I said, girls, we're no longer toddlers. We're really not even high schoolers anymore in the Lord. We're in college, and some even further along than that. So guess what? You have to grow. You can't stay in diapers your whole life. And as my good friend Linda would say, pull up your big girl panties. That was a bit interesting that she said that, but it really fits. No sissies. You can't be a sissy. You can't be a sissy when you're walking with God. You got to have a fighter within you, a fight that you go, I am never going to stop until I get my breakthrough. This isn't a popularity contest. To all those girls and boys that thought they were so cute and popular, maybe you were a cheerleader, football star, those days are over. You ain't that anymore, folks. You're a Holy Ghost, on fire, woman or man of God. Get rid of the high school pattern. Because guess what? That's not going to cause you to have breakthrough. If you're popular, good for you. But if you're really serving God, people aren't going to like you. Isn't that encouraging? When you're serving God, people aren't really going to like you. Gosh, that's just wonderful. We have to be hungrier for God than our struggles. Think of that. Hear that. When I heard that, I went, wow. We have to be hungrier for God, for his movement, for his presence than our struggle. You do realize sometimes we idolize our struggles. Ow. I've done it. But I've learned it gets me nowhere except deeper and deeper and deeper into despair. I went to a woman's luncheon, a couple days ago, and two of my friends said, you know, I used to talk about my struggles, their struggles so much, that two of their closest friends looked at him one day and said, done. Sick of hearing about that struggle. And of course, I'm sitting there going, oh, did it break your heart? That girl isn't very nice. They said, no, it helped me overcome. Because sometimes we moan and groan so long in our struggles that it becomes an idol. And guess what? When you got that thing as your idol, God's going like this. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. I can't move till you get out of that. You know? If you've called a few people to pray, and you should, I believe in calling people for prayer. I called a few people to preach today. I know you don't realize it. I know you probably think I'm a liar, but I was terrified to preach. It's been a while. I used to preach regularly. It's been 2 years, except for a Wednesday night, that I got behind the pulpit. And I said, oh, I'm so rusty. I won't be able to be natural. I won't be able to flow because it's just been too long. When God does it, who cares if I'm rusty? You know, it doesn't matter. But don't stay in your problems too long, guys. And don't share them with everybody. Because guess what? The enemy will set up people in our life that you'll be soul tied. Not soul sisters, soul ties. And when you tell them that negative report, they're going to jump on board with you and go, oh, let's moan and groan together. Because guess what? I've got the same issue. Now, most people want to say, it's not about you. I called you. It's about my issue. I felt that way before. Gee, it's me I want you to talk to. But guess what? We got to be careful. We got to be careful. I believe God gives us, I'm not going to say the number, but I'll just throw out 10 people. That's a big number that you can trust with all your heart, call and ask for prayer, or nowadays text and ask for prayer. But you need to trust them. If you know they have talked to other people about your prayer request, kick them to the curb. You can love them, you can be friendly with them, you can be godly, but if they are telling your personal stuff to someone else, they're not your prayer partner. They're your gossip partner. Don't throw your pearls before swine, because guess what? They'll get stomped on. You know, I was Miss Open Book for years. I thought I could trust every woman that came into my life that she was going to be my very best friend. Oh my gosh, I love her. I still say today, I'll see somebody on TV and I'll say to my daughter, she's my new best friend. I just love friendships. And I do, I love friendships. But I realize those women that I thought I could give my life, my heart, and my secrets to stomped on me. And it might take 2-3 years before they stomp. So be careful who you open up to with your deepest, darkest secrets. After we had that supernatural experience, we went through ups and downs, still in and out in the world here and there. But we became, after so long, we became youth leaders. We were youth leaders for a few years. And not because of us, but we grew the youth group from like 15 people to 100. Kids were getting filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we called it the big church, was where the big people church was. And we were across the parking lot in the little building. Parents would be lined up after church because the Holy Ghost was moving. Big church was boring. So we were youth leaders for a few years. And then we began a young adult group in our home. Right now, and I'm not saying this, I'm bragging. Trust me, I'm too afraid of God to brag. But out of that young adult group that we used to have in our home, two of them are ministers today, and they wrote a couple books. Another one is a minister, and she's traveling. Several of them are worship leaders. Not because it was about us, but because we allowed the Holy Spirit to move. We allowed the Holy Spirit in power. We allowed the Holy Spirit to do things that other people didn't allow it to do because it looked too weird. We weren't afraid of weird. Now, was there times things got a little bit cuckoo, cuckoo? Yeah, and you had to at that time teach people there's a way how to act even when the Holy Ghost is flowing. I'm not talking about you can't get drunk in the Spirit. I know one of our people from this church gets drunk in the Spirit pretty regularly, Jamie. Okay, she gets drunk in the Spirit. Other people might sway. Other people might shake. I've had a few shakers in my day, friends. But guess what? Get out of their business. Get in your own business. If the Holy Ghost is moving through them, let it be. Now, if it gets kooky, freaky, fruit loopy, the Holy Spirit will tell the pastor, and he'll take care of it. Do you hear that, James? They're probably not even listening to my message. They're out having fun. Well, guess what? You can watch it the next day, I think. Then in 2006, well, no, in 1992, we moved to Tennessee. We were on fire for God at that point. I mean fire. There was nothing that could stop us. We started a church down in Tennessee. My kids were only, I think, 11 and 7 at the time. And we said, we're moving to Tennessee. We're starting a church, blah, 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 blah. And they're thinking, really? We started a church. It was called Gospel Lighthouse. And if anybody knows Jack Christians, who here knows Jack Christians? Raise your hand. That's where we met Jack. He came to our first church service. And guess what he did? He ended up taking over the whole service. Randy didn't even get to preach that day. The Holy Ghost moved and, all right, Jack, we don't even know who you are, but go ahead. We became super good friends with him, and still to this day, he actually was a part of Randy's funeral. He was one of the men that spoke at Randy's funeral. And then in 2006, we moved home from Tennessee a couple years later. You'd think God would let us stay in one place and said, no, now you're going back home. 2006, we thought we were just going to take it easy. Randy was getting ready to retire from GM. And God said, oh, no, you're going to start a new work in Mayville. I even went like this, where's Mayville? I truly didn't know. And Randy said, it's way up there. I said, well, then why is God having us go clear up there? That don't seem right. Kim and Paul, that's where we met Kim and Paul. And we did shock you in the beginning, didn't we? You were thinking, they were Baptists. They came in the church, and you could see their eyebrows were raising like, kooky. But guess what? They got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and got on fire for the Lord. God is so good, isn't he? Amen. So we started Spring of Life in 2006. A lot of wonderful things happened there. A lot of wonderful things. Lives were changed. We had a food ministry. We helped people in the park. We call them the park kids. I'm going to be honest with you. They were stinky. But they were precious. They needed Jesus. They needed to know that somebody cared about them. And they actually, a lot of them started coming to our youth group. But then in 2012, unexpected, my husband, that I thought I would be in the rocking chair with, passed away. And what came to me? Perseverance will become second nature to you. He had an autoimmune deficiency disease that we thought for sure God would heal him. Of course he would. We're doing the work of the Lord. He's going to heal him. But that's not what God chose to do. So then after he passed away, I was 52 years old at the time. That's young. Very young. And I thought, what the heck? What am I going to do with this church? He was the preacher. I was his helpmate, and I prophesied, and I did things more behind the scene. What am I going to do? Well, my son and another young man, Chad, were our associates, thank goodness. They knew how to preach the word. So we held on to that church as long as we could. But it was hard. Right, guys? It was hard. We were grieving. A lot of things happened, mistakes, all that stuff that happens, but we hung on to it for quite a long time. And then I moved to, I stayed in Mayville, and I said, now what, God? It's you and me, God. I'll persevere, Lord, but you promised me breakthrough would come. You promised me, Lord. We have to have an untamed bravery, an untamed bravery, a never-quitting attitude. We must be warriors that sees the victory from a distance. It's there, but sometimes it's from a distance. Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Perseverance is a vital component of our spiritual growth and maturity. So if you haven't persevered yet, you might be maybe toddler? And I'm not being smart, Allie. But you might be. The real test comes when you have to persevere through hard times and trust only in Jesus and Jesus only. As Pastor James would say, in my conclusion, he doesn't stop. I'll stop in my conclusion when I get to the end of the pages. It took Joseph in Genesis 37, and I'm not putting the scriptures up there, but go read about Joseph in Genesis 37. It took Joseph 13 years of trials to become second in command to Pharaoh, and he was put in charge over Egypt, but it didn't start out that way. To me, he's a warrior in the faith, persevering warrior. He was 17 years old when he had his first prophetic dream. Unfortunately, he shared it with people he shouldn't have, his brothers. They became jealous and threw him into a pit to die. His brothers decided not to kill him, but they sold him into slavery. They sold him to Potiphar. He was the captain of the Egyptian king's guard. After he was sold, Joseph was then seduced by Potiphar's wife. Think of that. Joseph refused her, so then he was thrown into prison. And do you know why he refused her? Because he was trusting in God. Not because you broke a toenail, or you broke a fingernail, or your fingernail polish didn't match your outfit, or your shoes didn't match your pants. Guys, We need to grow up. It's not about being comfortable. Come on. It's not about being comfortable. It's about being comforted. Because it isn't comfortable to be a warrior in Christ. Flat out. It isn't. But the comfort that he gives us is phenomenal. But stop worrying about the little itty, pity, ridiculous stuff. If you're still there, maybe you're not a toddler. Maybe you're in diapers. Nothing against you. Nothing. If you just start out in Christ, it's okay to be that way. It is. Because God is so tender with the baby Christians. He is so good to baby Christians. He'll diaper us, he'll feed us, he'll burp us, and give us a miracle. It always amazed me when I was a baby Christian. Wah, wah, wah. You're healed in Jesus' name. Wow! This is the life I want to live. I think I'll stay baby. It don't work that way. Doggone it. Once we know the truth, we got to grow. So all you baby Christians, yay! Your miracle's on its way. All you college students, After he was seduced by Potiphar's wife, Joseph refused her. But we got to remember, our obedience to God will sometimes get us into trouble with people. Do it anyway, because we're doing it for Christ. Because Joseph stayed faithful to God during his most challenging seasons, he became an interpreter of Pharaoh's dreams. Promotion comes from the Lord. When the dreams began to come to pass, Joseph was promoted to second in command over Egypt. Don't be in such a hurry to be promoted, guys, because it takes time to become who God needs us to be. Don't give up. Your victory is on the way. God has always been faithful to me, always. My life hasn't always been easy. In fact, it's been hard at times. But today, 2024, I've got myself a cute second husband. And he's not only cute, but he treats me so well. So well. He honors me. He honors the fact that I get to preach. You know, some husbands don't like that. They don't want their woman to preach. Well, then maybe you better learn how to preach, man. If you don't like your woman to preach, then you learn how to preach. Get in the Word. Right? Wow. So he is a blessing. He's not perfect. He's not perfect. My mom thinks he is. And once in a while, I'll go downstairs and I'll say, Mother, I love Al. God brought him to me and me to him. But by golly, Mom, he's not perfect, and quit saying he is. In closing, this is it. I truly believe after Randy passed away and my life was devastated, I thought it was over. I thought my life in God would be okay. I would never preach again. Randy was the preacher. 2024, I've been married to this wonderful man that God handpicked for me, just like God handpicked you, Tamara and Buck. God handpicked you both. And we are so proud of you. So proud of you, Buck, for getting baptized yesterday. And guess what? You're a baby Christian, so watch out, world! Good things are gonna get nice. Woo! So God handpicked Al and I for each other. We truly believe that. I'm gonna tell one last thing. We were in the big boy. Al, I knew him years ago. Randy worked real estate with his former wife. So I knew him. We actually even went to their house one time for a party. But it was after Randy died. Bev had died 2 years prior to Randy. And we were in, I think it was E.G. Nixon, Lapeer. And I was with a group of girlfriends. In fact, I think, Kim, you were there. We were going to visit somebody at the funeral home. And it wasn't long after Randy died. It was maybe a couple months. I don't remember. And Al walked in E.G. Nixon. and our eyes, I am not lying, I'd only seen him a couple times in my life. Our eyes locked, and I went, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You will not have me look at another man. I'm not kidding. I got in that car, and I rebuked Satan all the way home. Remember, I had one boyfriend my whole entire life, and it was Randy. We met at 15 years old. So when another man was giving me the look, and trust me, he did. It was not just... God at that moment did a supernatural thing. He literally connected us in the eyes. He knew we were going to be together, regardless of how rotten people were, guys. Thank goodness Stephanie lived with me. And she said, you go, girl. She encouraged me. But guess what? 2024, I'm standing up here in Carroll, Michigan, preaching the word of God. I have joy unmeasurable. My life isn't perfect. Trust me, I got some prayer. You guys want some of my prayer list? So I got a few. My mom is going to be 92 next month. She's sitting in the front row. She almost died several times. A few months ago, we thought she'll never be the same again. And here she is. God is good all the time. And his mercy endures forever. Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are greater than anything that comes against us. That perseverance is a part of our walk to maturity. But you will always give us breakthrough if we don't give up. I pray over this congregation today, right now. Every person that has a need, that has something that's holding them back, that your breakthrough is going to begin to come forth. And whether it takes a day, a week, a month, or a year, you're not going to give up till you see that breakthrough. You hear that, Nicole? It's coming. It's on its way. Just don't expect it when you think, but it's coming. You're faithful. It's coming. So, Lord, bless each person in this congregation, and especially our beautiful Sherry that is experiencing yet another heartache, Lord. Bless her, bless her, bless her. Send laborers across her path on a regular basis, Lord. And for all the widows that are in this congregation, I know I was a widow. Bless them. Bless Diane, Lord. Bless her, Lord. Strengthen her. Give her what she needs. And anyone else, I don't know if there's any other widows. Bonnie. Any other widows in the house, raise your hand. So bless these two beautiful women of God. And Lord, we give you all glory and honor. And Marianne and James, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo! Do you want me to call the prayer group up, Stacy? Oh. How fun. Okay, prayer team, come up.